Hello, guys, and welcome to the Transparency Card podcast, where we believe that self-exploration leads to personal transformation. My name is Crystal, and I am your host today. I'm so excited to get into today's topic because I feel like a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this, especially considering this is the beginning of the year. So, as you guys know, by the title of this video, we're going to be talking about mindset shifts to accomplish our goals this year. And I feel like this is a pretty big topic. I know a lot of people are doing videos on this, but I do think that I have some important gems to drop that are going to help you guys accomplish your goals. I'm going to speak a little bit about myself first because all I can do is really speak from my own personal experience. But as far as my relationship with setting and accomplishing goals, I've had a bit of a tricky time with it throughout my life. I've found that while I've been able to accomplish goals pretty often, the issue is I constantly found myself in a state of burnout by the time I accomplished the goal. Or if I failed to meet the goal by a certain timeline, I found myself feeling disappointed and discouraged and honestly angry with myself. And so even though sometimes I would accomplish goals, I didn't feel that sense of pride that I expected to because I think I went about accomplishing it the wrong way. So for example, say I had a weight loss goal, or I was supposed to stick to a certain type of diet, or maybe, actually, let's not talk about body. Say I wanted to grow my YouTube channel to 100 subscribers and I didn't meet that goal within the 3-month mark that I set for myself. I would beat myself up about that for, oh my gosh, months later. Or if I did accomplish the goal, I would be so exhausted by the time that I accomplished that goal that the idea of setting another one seemed nearly impossible, or I didn't really feel motivated to do it because of how much went into achieving that one goal. And it's not to say that I don't think accomplishing our goals requires hard work and discipline. It definitely does. But I think that we have this tendency to make accomplishing our goals seem so rigid. Like, I think a lot of us, when we are setting goals, we aren't realistic about the timelines that we set, and we aren't realistic about how much time is actually going to go into accomplishing those goals and what it's going to take, what lifestyle changes, what habits we're going to have to create or break in order to get there, the people that we're going to need to become in order to achieve the type of success that we want. And so I think this year, and honestly beginning maybe towards the last few months of last year, I came to this realization that that old system of just forcing myself to do things in order to accomplish a goal, even if I accomplished it, it wasn't sustainable. So in today's episode, I want to talk about what creating and achieving sustainable goals actually looks like and what steps we can take to get there. So if you guys are interested in learning more about this topic or hearing my experience with it, definitely keep watching. I do want to note, for those of you who are listening to the audio version of this, I do have a visual podcast. So please go on YouTube, check it out. I have it linked down below. If you guys are interested in topics like this and want to hear more like self-improvement, self-development topics, or anything your heart desires, go ahead and drop a comment, drop a review, and we'll go ahead, look through those, and shout you guys out if we do choose the topic that you want us to talk about. But most importantly, I want to hear your insights on this. I want you guys to drop any comments about what your own experience has been and anything that you think would be helpful for another person that is going through this process of being more intentional when it comes to goal setting and accomplishing those things. Okay, let's get into the episode. Okay, so first thing to note, if you see me looking down, I have my notes available here because I have so many thoughts on this. So first, I want to start out with what our general process is when it comes to setting and accomplishing our goals. So I think, especially if you live in the West, a lot of us are overachievers. I think this is in part due to the fact that we live in a capitalist society. And because of that, we value work probably more than non-Western countries. And that's not to say that people that don't live in Western countries don't work equally as hard. But I think that in other countries, there tends to be more of a work-life balance, because I think in other countries, other areas of their lives take precedence over work. So, for example, their family life or their religious lives or, you know, their community life is more important to them and more fulfilling to them than work. Whereas in America, it's kind of the opposite. I mean, if you think about it, when you first meet someone, the first thing we ask each other in order to, I guess, kind of connect is, what do you do for work? Or where do you work? Or what do you do in your free time? And even then, sometimes people just talk about what their job is and what they do. They may even say, I don't have any free time. All I do is work. So because of our kind of rampant work culture and the way that it infiltrates our lives so much, I think that that also influences the way that we go about setting personal goals for ourselves. So us being high achievers is not a negative thing, and I want to start there. Being a high achiever means that you have high standards for yourself. It means that you believe in your potential to become a better person or a better version of yourself. It means that you believe that you're able to create the life that you want and to be successful, whatever that means for you. And I think that's amazing. And I too would consider myself to be an overachiever. However, I think that the process that we have when it comes to achieving those big goals that we tend to set as overachievers is prone to fallacy. And I say that because a lot of times we will take, like I mentioned earlier, what we learn at work and apply it to our personal lives and vice versa. So at work, for example, we set quarterly goals. If you're working in a, you know, corporate kind of space, that's all I can really speak to because that's primarily where I've worked. I've also worked in retail, but we also had quarterly goals there too. So I feel like in most companies, that's what they set. But a lot of times we'll say, okay, by this month, by the end of this quarter, or by the end of this year, I should have this, this, and this accomplished. And so when we're writing our ins and outs list for the end of the year, going into the new year, we tend to say, okay, by this month or by December of next year, I want all of these things accomplished. And we set those goals and we make a wish and we put it under our pillow, we go to bed and we just think we're going to wake up and be new people. And that's just not realistic. I don't think we're being realistic about how we're structuring our timelines when it comes to accomplishing those goals and fitting our goals into our lives as opposed to changing our lives to fit our goals. Because the reality of it is, if you have certain body goals and you see someone online who's able to accomplish those body goals, you're not taking into consideration that maybe that person's full-time job is to influence you to change your body, which is fine, but that means they just have more time on their hands to go to the gym. They have more money or sponsorships or partnerships that gives them access to certain things, like maybe certain gym memberships or certain gym clothing that makes wanting to work out look more desirable or makes it more desirable for them in general, right? We don't necessarily have access to that. I mean, I work in the corporate world. I don't make the most amount of money at this time in my career. And so, I mean, spending like $100 on two workout outfits, I don't know how realistic that is for me right now. Maybe when there's a sale, for sure, but on the regular day to day, probably not. I'll probably be wearing like the same two workout sets that I have in my closet. And my non-Lululemon leggings, like I go to the ABC store. If you're from New York, you know, but yeah, I go to the ABC store and I get my little $10 leggings and I'm wearing those for the year. So I just think that we have to also be realistic about what our lifestyles are and make our goals fit into that, because that's when your life is actually going to change. It's not about changing yourself. Sometimes it's about making the goals adaptable enough and realistic enough to fit into your life, because the reality is we're not going to change overnight. I say all of this to say that when we're setting our goals, things are not always black and white. You know, we set these goals with the intention of accomplishing them by a certain time, and we tell ourselves, if I work hard enough, if I'm disciplined enough, if I'm consistent enough, it will come. But there are a lot more factors that play into accomplishing your goals while simultaneously feeling proud of yourself for doing it and feeling like that journey was worth it. So in order to avoid feeling burnt out or exhausted or disappointed in yourself, whether you accomplish a goal or not, I think when we're setting our goals and when we accomplish them, we should feel excited. We should feel pride. We should feel stronger. We should feel fulfilled. We should feel like, wow, I really did that. I really, you know, met my potential there. I really challenged myself. I feel so good about that. And you're not just thankful for the fact that you accomplished the goal. You're thankful for the entire journey. I think that's the point of setting goals, really, is to go on a journey and to see what the outcome will be. But the journey is what teaches you all of those lessons. The first point I want to make is the art of receiving. So let me explain what it is, and then I'll give you guys an example, because I mean, it seems pretty self-explanatory, but I just want to make sure that it's understood. So the art of receiving, what do I mean by that? You can't expect long-term sustainable results if when you're initially in the process of building the life that you want or achieving the goals that you want, you are operating from a space of fear, anxiety, and desperation. Let's start there. I want to say 2 years ago, going on three, I decided that I was taking a break from dating. And the reason I decided to do this was because I had a few situationships that ended poorly, and I realized that I needed to focus on myself and I needed to work on really loving myself. I needed to learn who I was. I needed to learn what my boundaries were, and I needed to give all the love that I was giving to other people back to myself, because I wasn't receiving it and I wasn't honoring myself and the person that I was. I had no idea who I was, so I couldn't honor myself. I couldn't respect myself, and I wasn't valuing myself. Long story short, maybe we'll have another episode on that. But I took a break from dating for a bit. Months go by. I, you know, focused on myself. I really worked on my personal development, my relationship with myself. I got comfortable being alone. I grew stronger in who I was. I began to learn what I valued and what I wanted out of life and who I wanted to become. And then one day I woke up and I said, I'm ready for a relationship. When I said that, my whole world changed. And I'm not saying this to be like, okay, once you say to the universe that you're ready for something, it's going to happen. But what I did was I acknowledged to myself that I desired something. And then I openly shared it with the universe. And then after that, I backed that desire with action. I went on dating apps. I started talking to people, and even though in the back of my head, I knew, okay, the next relationship that I get into, I want it to be intentional. I want it to be with someone who wants a long-term relationship the same way that I do. I'm not just looking for a romantic fling. I'm looking for a life partner. And I know those are big kind of expectations to set, right? But that's what I wanted. I was like, I'm done with the superficial. I don't want anything that is just going to last a season. I don't want someone that's uncertain about me. I want someone who knows they want me the way that I want them. And though that's what I said to myself, those were the intentions that I set. So when I engaged with different people, it wasn't that I was like, oh, okay, well, you don't want a long-term relationship, I'm not doing this. But I definitely did set those boundaries in place where I was like, hey, this is ultimately what I'm looking for. I'm happy to remain friends if we end up, you know, hitting it off, but this is what I'm looking for. And I made that clear from the jump. And there's nothing wrong with that. And because I did that, I ended up getting my partner now, and we've been together for 2 years. I ended up meeting him within maybe like a week or two of setting that initial intention. And the reason that I bring this up and how it connects back to the art of receiving is you have to really set an intention and then let your energy match what that intention is. So take note of the fact that I said I knew internally what I wanted. And so my actions matched that, yes. But also, I wasn't going into conversations with men saying to myself, okay, I really, really want a boyfriend and I really, really want a long-term partner. So I'm going to just try to fit anyone into this box because that's what I want. No, I knew that I was looking for a specific person, not a specific relationship. I wanted a specific person that had these qualities that would give me the relationship that I wanted. And so I was very mindful. I was very careful. I vetted all of the men that I spoke to. I paid attention to how they talked to me. I paid attention to how often they responded, whether they were quick to ask me on a date or wanted to meet me in person within the first couple of messages, or if they, you know, would respond every other day. I paid attention to their profile pictures and their hobbies and what their interests were. I paid attention to how much they asked about me. There were a lot of things that I became aware of during that time. And I think it's important to share this story because I think that was one of the first times in my life that I really learned that sometimes just letting go and opening up yourself to something, the universe will reward you in such a surprising and amazing and beautiful way. And so that's why I say when you really want something, if you have a goal, you have to set an intention and then let your energy match that. You have to be open and ready for it. If you are going after something, right? Because obviously after intention comes action, you don't want to come from a place of fear. You don't want to come from a place of desperation. That's what I had done in the past. Whenever I met a man that gave me even the tiniest inkling of attention or made me feel seen in some way, I romanticized him to the point of thinking he was my soulmate. It was because I wanted this type of relationship, but I wasn't being selective and discerning when it came to the type of person that I needed to be or the type of person that I needed to attract in order to create that relationship. So when I was acting out of fear and when I was acting out of desperation, I attracted people who didn't value me, who didn't treat me right. And that's what happens when we set goals. You think to yourself, I want to accomplish this, and I'm going to accomplish this by doing this, this, and this, and I want it to happen within this time frame. Because you're so focused on the time frame, sometimes you lose sight of the goal and what you really want out of the goal, and then you begin to settle. And that's the thing. When your energy is open and you're ready to receive, you still have to be discerning. That doesn't mean that you're going to let everybody in. You have to kind of show the universe or God, hey, no, I'm serious about what I want. You can't just take the first thing that comes your way. But you also have to have your energy open enough to be like, I'm willing to try this. I'm willing to explore this. And also knowing what your boundaries are as well. So the art of receiving is the first step in really attracting the type of energy that you want, attracting the type of people and opportunities that you want. I did write something down that I think is going to help you guys. So I wrote, embracing the energy of receiving means you give yourself permission to let go of expectation while simultaneously working towards something you want. It is the equivalent of living in the present and understanding that what will be, and the most that you can do is try. So you're setting an intention. Why did I say it like that? Sorry. You're setting an intention. You are following that intention with action, but that action is based in intention. That action is based in openness, this energy of being willing to explore new things. That energy is not based in fear because you're desperate for that thing that you want. No, you know you're good without it, but this is something that you just simply desire because you think it will be more fulfilling for your life in some way, or it's going to add some sort of impact in your life in some way. You're not obsessed with a timeline. You're obsessed with the journey that's going to come from you being this open and the opportunities that are going to come from it. So it's really about just making sure your energy is good and open and ready, but also just making sure that it's void of any sort of fear or anxiety.
Okay. The next gem I want to share with you guys, flow state. So once you've opened yourself up to receiving, that's when the magic happens. The magic being your flow state. I wrote down a definition of flow state that I want to share with you guys. Flow state can be defined as action without striving. Effortlessly, there is no fear, no worries or rumination. Everything flows in a natural state. When you do this, you are opening yourself up to the state of the universe. So in layman's terms, flow state means letting go. Letting go of expectation, letting go of your fear and your worries and your doubt, your imposter syndrome, your fear about the future and things not working out, and all of the what ifs that just haven't happened yet and aren't even guaranteed to happen, and truly living presently. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't set goals. You should definitely set goals. What this means, though, is that you are not as obsessed with the outcome as you are with where you are and what you're doing in the present moment to get you to the outcome that you want. I think a lot of the time, our anxiety and our fear when we're setting goals comes from this thought of what if it doesn't work out? And so that fear and that anxiety is what we use to fuel us. And while it's important to have something to motivate you to get closer to your goals, fear, to me at least, has only led me to do things that weren't intentional, to make silly mistakes, to rush things, and that ultimately sent me back and that ultimately set me back further than if I had just taken my time, been present and intentional in the things that I did to get where I wanted to be, stayed focused on each step, taken it day by day, and then accomplished that goal, knowing that I really learned something here. I really challenged myself in some way. I wasn't living out of fear and desperation. When it came to this, I really was present through this entire journey and I walked away with so many lessons because of it. I think another reason that a lot of us tend to go the, you know, fear and desperation and anxiety route when it comes to accomplishing our goals is we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of other people seeing us fail. And I think we also are in a generation where immediate gratification is kind of like a drug, right? I think a great example of this is kind of the way that women have been getting BBLs, right? Instead of working out at the gym, because it's going to take a lot longer to build and sculpt this body that you want, right? It's going to take you learning discipline. It's going to take you learning science, right? You're going to have to learn about your body, how the female body works, where your body distributes weight, what type of workouts are most beneficial for you, not only physically, but mentally. it's going to take you getting more organized and figuring out a workout routine. It's going to take patience. It may not take 6 months like that girl you saw on Instagram. It may take you a year. It may take you 2 years, 3 years. It takes you cleaning up your diet, figuring out what's getting you closer to your goals and what foods you're going to have to filter out to get you there. You know, there's so much that goes into that. But then, on the other hand, you have this option called a BBL, where you can fly to another country, pay a couple grand, and get the body of your dreams, right? And I think we all know at this point that even that is not immediate gratification, because you go through months of healing. That surgery is incredibly invasive and dangerous, yet it's faster than having to put in the work and the time and building the patience and the diligence to carve your body. And by carve your body, I mean just work out and build your body yourself without having to do any of these dangerous things that could cost you your life, right? But we choose the easy way out. So I say this to say, like, give yourself some time. I think we're so obsessed with what the future is going to be like, and if and we have to take advantage of the current moment. Yes, take advantage of the current moment, but don't overwhelm yourself with fear. Don't let that be your driving force, because fear is going to run out. Fear will lead you down a completely different path. It truly will. It will lead you somewhere dark. It will lead you to choices, to people, to mistakes. It will lead you somewhere that you didn't even think you would end up. And I mean that in the most negative way. Whereas if you are guided by faith, you believe that, okay, as long as I work hard and as long as I take my time with this and I focus on this and I sharpen my skill set and I learn as much about this as I possibly can, once you understand that, that is when the real growth happens. Because a lot of times when we go on these journeys, I think we're just focused on the outcome. We don't think about the fact that throughout this journey, we're going to come across roadblocks and obstacles that are going to challenge us, but in the end, they're going to make us a lot smarter. They're going to make us stronger and more self-sufficient, and it's going to build our confidence. But when you just jump to whatever seems like it's going to work faster, whatever seems more efficient because you're operating out of fear and self-doubt, that's when you really fail, because you missed out on the lesson, because you didn't give yourself the benefit of the doubt. You didn't believe in yourself enough to try. So, circling back to just like a flow state, flow is finding a balance between action and non-action, okay? Set your goals, set expectations for yourself, and while you are working towards your goals, be present in that moment. Don't think about tomorrow. Don't think about next week. Don't think about next year. Think about today. Think about what you're doing in this moment and understand that there is impact here. For example, I have this podcast. I love it. I'm excited for it. Who knows where it's going to go? Do I have goals for it? Absolutely. I want a certain subscriber count. I want people around the US to hear this podcast. I have big goals for this podcast. I definitely do. And I have to make sure that my content is good. That means I have to take time to put together an episode that I think people are going to want to listen to. That means I have to be intentional with the types of conversations that I have, the type of guests that I have on the show. That means I have to make sure that my camera quality is good and that my background looks nice all the time and that I'm filming during the day so you get the best lighting. There's so many little things that goes into making something beautiful and exceptional. And I think if we just gave ourselves more time, we could do that. We could create something so much bigger than we are even giving ourselves credit for. So take action, but be present, because in the present moment that's where you're going to find the gems. That's when you're going to get all of the lessons that you need from this experience and from this journey. And when you're in the present moment, you're not thinking about yesterday. You're not thinking about tomorrow. You're not ruminating. you are actually in your flow state. You are tapped in with the frequency of the universe and you are creating, and it is beautiful. And that is what you should be striving for. Because when you're in your flow state, it's just like things come to you and it's like you become a magnet for opportunity. So that's why I say, when you're on this journey to accomplishing whatever goal you have, just try your best to practice getting into a flow state. So how can we get into flow state? So earlier in the podcast, I did talk about Western civilization and our relationship with work, right? I think a lot of times when it comes to work, we find ourselves burnt out because we don't set boundaries and we don't recognize our own limitations. And even if we do recognize our limitations, we try to surpass them because we think that the more that we do, the more of an outcome we're going to have, like the bigger the outcome, basically. However, Taoists, which are the people who kind of came up with this idea of flow state, say that results do not equal the amount of energy we spend. Results are the consequences of a series of actions. So have you ever heard a really successful person say, I don't spend all day every day on my business? To me, that's success one, because that means that you understand that in an 8-hour, 12-hour workday, you're not always going to be focused. It's going to be really hard to sit at your computer for 12 hours and be completely focused. It's just not realistic. It's not how the human mind works. Could you train yourself to be that way? Probably. The average person is not going to do that. Let's be real. What's most important is not how much you're doing in a day. What's most important is that you're doing something, that you're fine-tuning something every day. So for example, if you have the goal of learning how to, you know, create your own music, right? Give yourself 15 minutes a day. Give yourself 30 minutes a day to just focus on that one thing. It's going to get you so much further than if you dedicate 4 hours on your Saturday to working on it, when you know good and well that you're more excited about your plans that you have later on. So you're spending those first 2 hours kind of procrastinating, scrolling through Instagram, watching YouTube, and then you have 1 hour to really focus on what it is you want to do, and you don't get any of that work done because you were so busy procrastinating that now you're rushing, and now you just kind of missed out on the opportunity to enter your flow state because you can't focus now, because now you're thinking about, okay, I have to leave in the next hour. So I think we have to recognize that consistency is more important than how much you're doing in a certain amount of time. Okay. Another way to get into your flow state is recognizing the balance between work, rest, and play. We have to find the balance there. Okay. Here's why. Work is what's going to get you closer to your goal, right? It's the tangible energy that you're putting into achieving your goal, right? But play is what gets you excited, right? Play is what inspires you, because you go out into life and say you're in a creative rut because all you've been doing is working. Now you're having a hard time coming up with ideas. You go out and you hang out with your friends. You go to a museum, or you just meet someone, or you overhear a conversation at a restaurant that inspires a conversation. And say you have a podcast and you've been struggling to come up with content. You hear this awesome conversation and you think to yourself, wow, I'd love to have this person on my show, or wow, that's a really good topic. I actually have some ideas about that. Life inspires art, so play. And then rest. I mean, I feel like this is self-explanatory, but your brain needs a rest. You are not a machine. You are a human being, and you're not only designed to work. And the more that you rest, the more efficient you'll be in your work. The easier it will be to drop into flow state, the easier it will be to concentrate and to focus. Rest is your superpower. Do not neglect your rest. Okay. Another tip for dropping into flow state is to follow the path of least resistance. So what I mean by that is accept that sometimes it's okay to do nothing, right? And we shouldn't waste our energy on things that we cannot control. So for example, say for my podcast right now, my computer shut down and I'm having a hard time getting it back up. Maybe today is just not the day. That doesn't mean that when you come across an obstacle that you just give up, but it does mean that maybe the universe is trying to tell you something. Maybe it means that, okay, you've tried to film 3 times today, but there are just so many things happening. You have the subway going in the background. Your computer keeps shutting down. You keep running out of storage on your camera, whatever it is. At some point, you'll have to realize, okay, maybe this isn't the ideal situation for me right now. Maybe I need to take a step back because right now you're frustrated. So even if everything does turn on and everything does start to work, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get into flow state because you're already pissed off. Like I would be. Like I'd be like, F this. Oh, now you want to work? I'm going to bed. And that's okay. Life will just life sometimes. That's the reality of it. And a lot of times it's for a reason. For example, I want to say about a week ago, my best friend came over. We filmed 2 podcast episodes. Literally, it did not pick up anything that I said. You could only hear her and her responses, but my audio platform, I did not set the settings correctly. And so you couldn't hear anything that I said. Like my recording was just non-existent. Okay. The camera died halfway through the 2nd episode. I told her, it's fine. At least we have the audio. This one will just be an audio one and the other one will be a visual audio. I don't have audio for either episode, like full audio at least. It's just her talking and saying mm-hmm and responding, okay? So it doesn't sound like a conversation that I could post. Obviously, I was pissed off. I felt really discouraged by that. I felt like an idiot. I did have a bit of a breakdown because I'm like, I'm trying so hard. Like I'm rushing to put all this stuff together. And then my partner's like, dude, you didn't set yourself up for success here. This is your first time doing this. This is your first time taking this seriously. And you didn't set your systems up. And that's okay because you're new to this. You thought, okay, all I have to do is turn on a camera, plug these mics in, and let's go. But no, you have to set up a system that's going to set you up for success. You have to test things. You have to fine-tune things. You're still finding your rhythm. You're still finding your flow. You have to figure out what audio platforms are going to work the best. You have to test all of your equipment. There are so many little things that go into this. And that made me realize he's right. If I really want this to be successful, I have to take my time with it. I have to be intentional with every little thing that I do here. I have to think about the potential outcome, right? So it's a good thing that those episodes weren't recorded or that I can't post the footage because you know what? Maybe that was God telling me, hey, you need to make sure you have all your stuff, you know, set and aligned. You have to make sure that you have your systems in place because the blessings I'm about to bring to you is going to be crazy, beyond your wildest dreams. And you don't want to have, say, like a celebrity up in your podcast studio and your equipment isn't working. This person just flew from Miami to come sit and talk to you on your couch and your mics aren't working? No, no, no. We need to make sure we pay attention to that sort of stuff. Also, maybe the content that we were going to put out, maybe that's not the type of direction we should be going in. Maybe those aren't the things we should be sharing with an audience. You know, maybe it wasn't as valuable as we thought it was in the moment. Maybe it was more for our entertainment than it was for, you know, an audience. So there could be a lot of reasons why that didn't work out, but I'm glad that it didn't because now I'm here. I have my podcast studio set up. I have all my posters up ready to go. I understand my audio platform. I understand what my camera can and cannot take. I understand how loud I should be speaking into this microphone. I have
you know, my script here and ready to go. I have my outline of what I want to say and everything is just flowing. I'm not worried about my camera dying. I'm not worried that I'm not recording myself because I know that I am because I set up my system. So be okay with things not always working out. That is just a part of the process. Okay. So that was my little section on flow state. And now I'm going to leave you with one last gem because I do have to go meet a friend after this, which is going to be fun. Okay, camera, relax. So the final gem I'm going to leave you guys with is prioritizing desire. Okay. So I know I did talk a little bit about making sure that when we are setting our goals, we are setting them out of this feeling of openness and this energy of I'm ready to receive this, as opposed to an energy of desperation or fear, right? So the reason I am talking about prioritizing desire when it comes to setting your goals and accomplishing your goals is because I think a lot of times our goals are influenced by other people and what we see online and what we see in our day to day. I think it's always important to check in with yourself and ask yourself why you want the things that you want. Because sometimes, most of the time, the things that we want and desire aren't necessarily what we need and aren't the most important things in our lives. So that's one. I also think desire is a huge motivator. It truly is. You know, there will be some times at work where I'm like, I am just not motivated to engage. I'm not motivated to do this project today, right? But then say I get an opportunity to go on someone's podcast or I have my best friend coming over to film something. Suddenly I have all the motivation in the world. Suddenly I have all the energy and the chutzpah in the world. So clearly I'm desiring to do this. Clearly, this is something that I want. And so I feel like while consistency and discipline is definitely important and it's going to really get you to that next level, I also think that using desire as motivation isn't a bad thing. And I think it can be really helpful because it can show you that you're on the right path. I think when we desire something, it shows, okay, this is something that is really important to me. And now I'm going to follow it with action because my desire is more important than my fear of failure. My desire is more important than my fear of not getting this. And I think it's a great way to get yourself to do the things that in the moment feel like crap, but you know are going to get you closer to where you want to be. So that's one thing. I also think that it's a great point of reference for when you're feeling discouraged or you're just not in the mood to do it. Totally get that. Like if you have a fitness goal and you're like, I really just want to lay in bed and order Chipotle. I don't feel like going to my kitchen and cooking myself a meal. Then you remember, wait, no. I told myself I would do this because this is going to lead to this. And sometimes it works. I really do think that it works, you know? Like for me, if I think about my fitness goals, you know, would I say I'm the most confident in a bikini right now? Probably not. So something that motivates me to work out, aside from just generally wanting to be healthy and strong, is like, okay, when June comes, like I want to feel and look my best. I want to feel so good in my body because I know what it feels like to not. I know what the shame is like. I know what the fear of being judged when I go outside looks like. I know what sucking my stomach in and like trying to find clothing to fit me feels like. And I hate that feeling. So sometimes that motivating feeling or that like desire for this new version of yourself does stem from just like your previous experience of the opposite, right? So I think
when you're feeling discouraged, it's important to check in with yourself too, to see like, am I discouraged because I feel like this goal isn't attainable? Am I discouraged because I feel like the timeline that I set isn't realistic? Am I discouraged because maybe this isn't something that I really want anymore or isn't as important to me as I thought that it was? Am I discouraged because the journey that I'm on isn't as fulfilling as I hoped it would be or isn't something that I feel is worthwhile in order to get to this goal? Therefore, this goal is not that important to me anymore. Maybe your mind just changed and it's not for you. And that is also fine. Okay. And finally, I would also ask yourself, is this something that I still want? Why do I want this? And how can I make the journey to getting there as enjoyable as possible? It's like when people say, when you start working out, you want to make sure that you find workouts that you enjoy. So if you don't like weight training, maybe you should try a workout class and do Pilates. Maybe you could try boxing. Maybe you could try dancing. Figure out what's going to get your body moving and help you burn some calories, because that's the point of it, right? And go from there. It may not look like what everyone else is doing, but what's going to keep you consistent and motivated is you're doing it in a way that suits you and that is exciting and fun to you. You know, I have body goals, but there are some exercises I won't do because I know I just don't like it and it's boring and I don't enjoy it. So I won't be consistent. I'm not going to put myself through that and then fall off and then be mad at myself. I'm not going to do that to myself. I know what I like and what I don't like. So if I don't feel like doing a kettlebell workout today, okay, that's fine. I can go for a walk. If I don't want to go for a walk, okay, I can sign up for a little $10 dance class. Like, there are options. So I think, like I said, and this circles kind of back to what I said in the beginning, fine-tuning your goals to your lifestyle and who you are and making them, you know, approachable enough and accessible enough to fit into your life and not changing your entire life to fit that in. I do think that these are things worth thinking about. I think implementing these practices into my life has really helped me be more realistic when it comes to setting goals, and it's helped me be a lot more patient with myself. That's not to say that I don't have moments where I get frustrated and feel discouraged. I definitely do, but ultimately they keep me going, and I feel really good not having too strict timelines on myself now, because I know that I have time and that I am responsible for making something of the time that I do have. So yeah, I think overall accomplishing your goals is possible as long as you're doing it in a way where it's sustainable and it's fulfilling you and not draining you and making you tired and burnt out and depressed. If that's how you're feeling when you're working towards a goal, I don't know if it's worth it then. Or not even that it's not worth it, maybe there's just another approach that you need to take. Because someone else's approach may not be what's right for you. So it also comes with learning yourself and what your boundaries are and your limitations and what you desire, you know? But yeah, I do hope that this episode was helpful for some of you guys. I do want you guys to remember to just please take care of yourselves. Don't get so caught up in accomplishing a goal that you, you know, start to neglect yourself or other parts of your life. Because all of these things that we experience in life are so important. So if you have one goal, don't get so hyper fixated on it that you forget about all the other areas of your life, because how much is that goal worth in the long run? You know what I mean? Find some balance, you know, prioritize whatever you need to prioritize to get what you want. Absolutely. But also be kind to yourself and allow yourself to rest, allow yourself to play, take breaks when you need to. Don't force things, let things flow and try your best. That's the best advice I can give. So yeah, please take care of yourself. Please be kind to yourself. Please don't set such strict timelines on yourself. You can do this. You know you can do this. If you already know that it's gonna happen, you don't need to, you know, overdo it. Take it day by day and you will get there.
Okay. I am done talking. If you guys enjoyed this podcast episode, go ahead and leave a comment. If you're on YouTube, drop a review, a little rating. If you are on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And like I said, if you want to hear more conversations like this, if you want me to talk about some more like self-development topics, anything involving spirituality, like personal growth, or anything outside of that, please, I am open to discussing. I would love for you guys to share that with me, and I will look into all of those topics. And once I find one that I want, or once I find one that I can dissect, I'll definitely shout you out if we end up choosing your comment and your suggestion. Also, if you have more to add on here or this episode made you think, please leave a comment, share with people, and also give your own advice. I'd love to see that in the comments, people just giving each other advice. And I really want to get into a habit of just kind of like promoting this like community, because I really do want that. I want us to build a community where we can be open and vulnerable and talk about ways that we can grow into better people. So yeah, if that is your vibe, then go ahead and leave a comment. All right, I am actually done. My mouth is so dry. I will see you guys in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening and for tuning in, and we'll talk soon. Bye.